Welcome, KU football fans, to another episode of the KU Sports Hour. We are right in between week one and week two with this KU football team, and week one did not exactly open up so great for the Jayhawks at David Booth, Kansas Memorial Stadium. Nicholls State, victorious, 26-23 in overtime. You guys know all about that by now, especially if you're listening to this podcast. I'm sure you're trying to like flush that game from your brain. So I don't think we're going to like dive into a lot of specifics, but I'm sure some of the specifics will come up as we just discuss just this kind of the season seems to have derailed almost already, and we're less than 2 weeks in. Joining me for this podcast, in which we're basically just going to run through a lot of your Twitter questions and kind of go from there, because there were a lot of great ones, because a lot of people are kind of fed up with watching this team week after week, year after year, struggle. But joining me is Matt Tate. Matt, did you watch, like the end of the game, right?
Yeah.
You had a family wedding.
Right.
But for some reason, you sought out.
I did.
live video of this
when
game.
When I got out of the wedding, it was still going, and it was a barn burner, and you know, you're always flipping to good games at the end, right? So, no, I was able to watch most, I think all of the fourth and overtime. And yeah, I mean, I wish I could say I was surprised that when I got in my car to leave the wedding that it was a close game, but I wasn't at all. I mean, there was nothing about it that was surprising. I only learned later from your guys' coverage and reading other stuff that there was a lot of crap that I missed before the fourth quarter, you know. So what's sad about it is it just seems like the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. Not prepared, not disciplined, and mistakes that just can't be made. Everybody makes mistakes in the season opener, but it'd be good if they were new mistakes. The same mistakes that you've made for 3 years, you're now making in year four, too. I don't blame people for being over it. And, there was a lot of fury on Twitter Saturday night, Sunday, really still going. And I think the best one that I saw, it wasn't necessarily fury, but the best one that I saw was someone on my mentions saying that I owed that person a second wedding gift for getting me out of going to that game. And that was pretty funny. So anyway, happy to talk about it. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be kind of unpacked and discussed. Yeah. And you know, where they go from here is by far the most interesting part. Way more interesting than breaking down, you know, the O-line against the D-line,
right,
and things
right.
like that. So I agree with you.
But yeah, speaking of weddings and this game, Shane Jackson might have missed out on a wedding with someone that he knows well in order to go and cover this game for us.
Yeah,
Shane.
What an idiot.
So was my older sister. She understood.
That's right. Shane is a soldier, you guys.
Family.
He just did not go to his sister's wedding in order to come cover this football
game. How
can
that be?
Well, for some reason, everybody decided to get married in September. Everybody that I know.
Because
I have three straight weekends.
Literally everyone
you
know?
Three straight weekends of people that I know who have a wedding this Oof. Month. And there's only one that I'm in. So that's the only one I actually have to go to.
Yeah.
So the rest of them, I was like, I'm sorry you did this during football season, which is basically the one rule that you can't do.
Right. Their fault,
so,
not yours.
Yeah,
good
exactly.
call.
Even
yeah.
if it was on a Sunday, I'm not sure if I make it because you got to watch NFL.
Oh,
football.
You don't.
So,
you definitely don't.
I mean, it's really just the rule about
is
wedding.
Is it her first wedding?
No, but she's been engaged once. So, or she—it was her first wedding, but she's been engaged before.
And you blew off your sister's first wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd your folks feel about that?
They were fine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you like
the
gift?
I was fine. I just, you know.
But how much regret hit you by the end of that game?
I had some regret because I think there is. When you see overtime from an outside perspective that you think it's actually a really good game, it was close, it was a nail-biter, and it was not. I mean, both offenses were inefficient, you know, it was a couple plays down late that made it somewhat exciting in the end, but yeah, it would be easy to say, oh, overtime game, that must have been a fun game, but no, I wouldn't say so.
Right, they always say, right, free football.
Yeah.
I'm thanks. You can have it back.
I guess, I mean, depending on where you were watching the game, it might not have been free. You might have had to have paid that $4.99 regardless.
Yeah,
I paid it?
Yeah, you bet.
Oh, man. Wait, you didn't start the 30-day free trial?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay, so you had to pay for it.
Technically on the free trial. You're right. I have not paid for it yet. But I'm happy to pay for $4.99 or $9.99 or whatever it is. Yeah. Happy to pay for that. I mean, The Athletic, this ESPN Plus thing, the Journal World.
Yeah.
Our Journal World, LJWorld.com site just went to a paywall model. And, you know, I hope people are subscribing and signing up because a lot of great coverage online. And it's what helps us do what we do and sustain our business and our industry and help the city and the community, all that stuff. So, anyway, enough about that. Introduce the other guy.
And
no weddings involved.
I know. This is a first, kind of, because, Tom, you had missed the season opener. Was it the past 3 years?
Past 2 years. I saw his Beatty's opener.
That's right. You saw the David Beatty debut, his very first game.
Right, when they were down 31-7 at South Dakota State. So, actually, I've only seen one David Beatty victory.
The Texas game.
Yeah, and I've seen all of his losses except to Oklahoma State last year. So.
Oh, yeah. So, but, I mean...
It's my fault.
Exactly. I was about to say, if you had found a wedding to go to, okay, you might have won this game.
So, I think so. If I'd known Shane was going to blow off his sister's wedding, I would have gone to that to at least represent the Journal World.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. The curse thing's funny because I covered a bunch of losing teams before I got to the Journal World in high school over at our weekly papers. And then I came over here to do high schools and covered Lawrence High, probably the two worst football seasons in Lawrence High history. And then right on the heels of the Todd Reesing era, I get bumped up to KU football beat writer. And I'm thinking, this will be fun, you know. And then they go in the tank and... I was starting to worry that it was a little bit of a curse that I was putting on these. And then let's take it one step further. The first KU basketball game that I covered after becoming the KU basketball beat writer was also a loss. A little nervous. I was a little nervous out there in Honolulu to Indiana. I was like, oh, God.
Well, so you're a curse that caused the teams to lose. Let me tell you, I... covered the 88 Dodgers as the beat writer.
World
championship there. I haven't won since. I moved to Chicago. First three Bulls championships.
Definitely you, not Jordan.
Yep.
A lot of people credit you.
moved to Baltimore. Cal Ripken continued his streak. Moved to New York and covered the first four Yankee World Series in the first 5 years. I come here, they win an Orange Bowl, they win a national title. You know, I should be hired to do
it. Cal Ripken continued the streak, not started the streak?
Yeah. Fair enough.
I did see him play AAA. Okay. He had a home run when I went to a AAA game in Rochester.
I was at the game, not covering it, but as a fan, where he set the world record for consecutive games played. Not passing Lou Gehrig, but passing some Japanese guy.
Sanhiro Ohmae?
Yeah. And that was in Kansas City, and I went to that game, and I got a certificate, and there was no one there, and I went. I actually went with my boy Sam Mellinger, and we were just shocked that people were not showing up for history. To this day, we still say, "What is wrong with people? This was history."
You got a certificate?
He didn't. Yeah, still have it.
Have you framed it?
No.
Okay.
That's a great minutia.
Yeah,
thing.
He didn't do the lap around Kauffman Stadium like he did at Camden Yards.
I can imagine.
He should have. I wanted it. I think he got an ovation, though. It was obviously the Royals played it up. It was pretty cool. I mean, the schedule works out in your favor that, you know, you've got an awful team, and then here this cool event pops in from a Hall of Famer. I mean, yeah.
I was there for the break in the street, the lap.
That's cool.
And everything. It was good. You know, for something you knew was coming and had no spontaneity to it.
Sure.
It felt kind of spontaneous when he lapped the
stadium. He had a home run in that game?
I don't remember. Here's a quick Cal Ripken story, because I did cover the Orioles in 94. He didn't know that I could see him, and he's at the coming back from the All-Star game, wherever that was, and he's running to get to his flight. And he goes to get on an elevator, and there's a kid who recognizes him, comes up for an autograph. He holds the elevator open with his leg and signs the autograph. This is when he's...
That's cool.
About to possibly miss a flight, and he still took the time.
Yeah, that's cool.
Nice Guy Award on top of everything else he accomplished in his baseball career.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Very guarded quote, though, so.
But
Speaking of
Cal Ripken Jr.
Speaking of guarded quotes.
Speaking of no transition that will work. I didn't really even want to approach this podcast with much of an agenda other than to just get into the tons of questions we got on Twitter about this football program.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to dive right into it. Basically, I posted on Twitter, you know, what questions do you have? KU football, let's get into it. And my very first question that I got was, how? Mm. Just how?
Yeah.
Mike Vernon, former Daily Kansan reporter, said how, but someone followed up. Better question might be why.
Those are two
Jay Cartman, better
deep
question.
Questions.
But as far as like the first real actual question I got, those were hilarious, by the way.
Yeah.
I appreciate those. Jack Dillon asked, "Why are we being kept in the dark about Puka Williams and why is he not playing?" So it was like really shortly before kickoff that KU just kind of passes out this press release. Anthony Williams will not be playing today.
Yeah, one sentence on the top of a paper. They've wasted a lot of paper.
They really
well,
did.
And yeah, I mean, if they didn't find out about it until then, fine. But I doubt that's the case.
Right.
And it comes, you know, 10 hours, 20 hours after Tom's column that says, the one player I'm looking forward to
right.
watching the most.
Like, Puka Williams.
Sweet. Thanks.
True freshman running
yeah,
back
I mean,
from Louisiana.
Just brutal. That,
great
you know,
highlight video. From his
right.
high school career.
Understandable
yeah.
why you were looking for
it. I guess like 90% of the people that were at that game were excited to see Puka Williams, maybe more than anything, like Tom wrote about. But
yeah,
how fitting was that? That was the first thing that happened with this season.
Very fitting. You know, and doesn't he wear number one?
He does.
How about that? I don't know what that has to do with it. But number one didn't play in week one, and will he ever play in a Kansas uniform? But to answer your question, why are they being kept in the dark? They will hide behind privacy if it's academics, if it's an academic issue, or if it's who knows what else, compliance in some way. But
it seems like it has to be one of those two things.
Yeah, right.
Because they've said it's not a punishment.
Not a disciplinary.
And it's not an injury.
Right.
So why else would you keep this guy from playing?
Yeah.
This
yeah,
is a guy, by the way, that David Beatty paraded next to him down the hill after he got off the team bus.
Right.
You know, they do the hawk walk.
Yeah.
David Beatty
teasing
and
the fans.
Puka Williams walking side by side down the hill 2 hours before kickoff. And
yeah.
the guy doesn't end up playing.
Yeah, good point. Teasing the
Weird.
Fans.
So,
well,
so
Billy Preston didn't play, and they told us why.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely. I mean,
yeah, you can have a vague
right.
explanation of why he's not playing, or that, you know, the NCAA is looking into something, or our
I mean, yeah, they told us that
office
night,
is looking into something.
Right.
Yeah.
They told us that night it was involving a car accident. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were more details that didn't get told in that, obviously, or still haven't been, but that was pretty specific as far as why Preston was being held out that night. And so
there's just a better way to do this.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah. There are rules. There are things
sure.
where it is required to not say anything. I get that. But without knowing what this is, you don't know if they're hiding behind it or if it's a specific, you know, we just really can't. Legally, we can't do this. So
the thing that's
frustrating, though,
yeah.
you've got to elaborate a little bit.
Right.
You've got to say, you know, it's X, Y, and Z, and we're hoping, you know, A, B, C. Or, yeah, it's something that popped up. You know, just elaborate. I mean, be honest and transparent. And where did it come from? Why now? And what does it look like? You don't have to say what it is. You just have to – a lot of people are interested, and you want people interested.
Yeah.
So shutting them out just turns them off, and it does not keep their interest.
And maybe this will come to light at some point, but – I mean, how could it be possible that you just found out about this on a Saturday night?
Yeah.
Right before the game
right,
starts.
Right. Great question. I don't know if that's possible. I mean, if it's an NCAA issue, it seems highly unlikely.
Right. It seems like maybe
NCAA
maybe Friday
bankers
NCAA,
hours.
Yeah,
I mean,
NCAA would have been like, you know what? We're gonna have to ask you not to play him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they just wanted people tuning in and people
right.
showing
right.
up to the game and
So okay. You use them to sell some tickets?
Maybe.
Yeah, wow. Give him a cut.
Yeah. kind of a similar question from Drew Matthews.
Give him a cut.
Yeah.
Drew Matthews asked, will Puka play this week?
We don't know.
We do not know. I mean, I would lean hard toward no right. at this point because yeah. if it is it.
I mean, if you want to take the other side of that wager, even up.
Look, though, this is how it'll go, right? I mean, yeah. Beatty probably won't tell you when he's going to play.
Right.
Right? So that doesn't mean he's playing this week, but let's
unless
say,
it's a home game.
Yeah. Right.
Then he might tell you, so then fans. We draw some fans.
Right. Weird, yeah. I'm with you. I'd say no this week, but geez, that's a bad deal. Whatever it is definitely a disappointment.
And the reason we say academics because a lot of big schools were in them and backed off.
Yeah.
Early.
Yeah,
early.
There were people wondering if he'd even make
academics.
It in the summer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Make it to campus.
Right.
So, right.
But he, I mean, I don't know. We haven't looked, have we? But he is enrolled.
Yeah.
So, admissions at least enrolled him.
Right.
Make you think it's probably not academic.
Because he was taking classes during the summer, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I don't know. That's something that strikes me is, you know, you connect those dots and you think, well, he's in classes. And I don't know. I don't know the process on that. But you know, you're not just admitted if you haven't graduated high school or whatever. So I'm sure, especially with athletes, they got to look into that, you know.
Right.
I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely weird. And it's a big-time bummer for him. Of course, but it hurts the program. It's a bummer for the fans who have heard great things about this guy. It's just on top of a bad, bad opening week, it's the last thing you want, you know, because now, man, it's really hard to point to any of that new blood, the new excitement. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a good question for sure, and we don't know the answer, but that's not because Benton's not trying to find it out. Tom's not trying to find it out. They are. We just... aren't getting anywhere.
Yeah. We'll kind of move on to a different topic. Stop skipping weddings and put forth some effort. this one is from the Fitz.
Maybe he didn't play because he was at Shane's sister's wedding.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, but you saw him come down the hill.
Yeah, he warmed. He came down the hill. He warmed up.
He warmed up.
I saw him warming up.
So he comes down the hill, and then an hour later is when we probably get the sheet, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
He warmed up.
He warmed up. He was on the field in pads.
They are definitely wanting you to think that they got this fax from the NCAA office at about 4:30. Wow.
Moving on from Puka Gate, this question from the Fitz has multiple choice. So this is going to be interesting. If Kansas loses to Central Michigan, what is the most realistic timeline for Beatty getting fired? A, Monday after the game. B, after non-conference play. C, the bye week. D, after the season. E, doesn't get fired. So
E. Ouch. That is erase that one. E stands for erase. That one is not a viable
question. So this is assuming an 0-2 start and KU loses at Central Michigan. Does David Beatty get fired on Monday morning?
So the most likely is the question, right?
I'm going to say the most likely is at the end of the non-conference season. But this all could depend on if they're talking to someone who doesn't have a job right now, let's say Les Miles or someone else.
Right.
Hey,
well, look,
it could be predicated on how those negotiations go.
Absolutely, and if you get beat 40-10 at Central Michigan, you give a little more than those negotiations. You call them on Saturday night and you say, "Hey, Les, remember what you wanted? This, that, and this done. Can you be here Sunday?" I mean, I know that sounds crazy, and I'm not trying to be ridiculous, but I think that could factor in the outcome and the score and the point differential. I don't think it could necessarily. I like Tom's answer, though, after non-conference. I think it's so hard to turn it around that quickly. But it is easier if it's a guy like that who's available.
Yeah, I mean, it seems crazy to even think about someone coming in brand new in the middle of a season just because football is so much built around, like, there's so much off-season work that's put into it. And I feel like usually it's interim coach situation, we should plug Tom's daily blogs on the top 10 interim head coach possibilities.
Right, backwards countdown. Reverse countdown.
Yes,
I like reverse countdown.
Yeah, you do.
The reason, though, that you could get away with it, and I think you could see both, Benton. You're mm-hmm. right. Like, I think you could potentially see a situation where Beatty, let's say they get blitzed
at Central Michigan,
right? Uh-huh. Let's say it's 40-10 or sure. whatever. You could see a situation where they fire him, name an interim. Interim has through the bye week. Okay, you know, right?
Sure.
And then you make the transition during that time. So if you're still negotiating, fine. If you want to bring someone in, then great. And you buy yourself a little more time. And then maybe that new coach, if it is a new hire in the middle of the season, which is rare, but
yeah,
it's not unheard of, maybe he comes in on the bye week and then has a whole basically 2 weeks before he has to coach a game. And I think all that aside, I mean, the reason you would do it is to give a guy a jump on recruiting. I mean, you know, you've got to start recruiting now, and you know more than likely David Beatty's not the guy for next season. So it's hard for him to recruit, you know. So you go find your new guy, and bring him in.
And gives him a head start for next year.
For sure. At least he doesn't put him as far behind.
He gets to assess the guys that are already here and will be back. Obviously, you're losing a lot of talent this year regardless.
Right.
Yeah, it just seems so tricky to pull off. But, I mean, I guess if you could do it, you would.
Yeah.
Especially if it was a Les Miles. I'm someone of that caliber.
Well, right.
That tracker.
The man has won a national championship.
I've already forgot the answers because I'm a bad student. But I think it's sometime during conference play. I'm not sure. I mean, what is most likely? I'm not sure how much the Central Michigan game impacts, you know, when Beatty is let go. Maybe it is score dependent.
Yeah,
but they're going to go in here as the underdog. Nobody's expecting them to win because of the road losing streak, and so it just seems unlikely that this game is going to be the deciding factor. I mean, you know, we mentioned it last week that really it was just the first game of the season. So I'm not sure how much Central Michigan changes their game plan.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what we talked about a week ago was that, you know, if he loses this home game to Nichols, that's it, right? I mean, no one at this point expects Beatty to be back next season, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, correct. We talked about it. You're right. Yeah. We talked about it going in, so.
So, yeah, great point, Shane. I mean, like, you've already lost that game. What does a Central Michigan loss have to do with where you are?
When you're definitely supposed to lose. Like,
yeah. Right. They're the underdog. They never win on the road.
Mm-hmm. Although people are betting on Kansas.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah, the Central Michigan line opened
at
7, and it was down to 4.5 earlier this week.
Oh, this people who have never watched KU football are just throwing their money on.
In for a real surprise. But
so do you like Central Michigan in this game, Ben?
Do I think Central Michigan's going to win? Or?
Yeah.
Yes.
If the spread's down to 4, then definitely Central Michigan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would take it at 7, too, but, I mean, you feel way better about it 4.
You could have been booking bets at that wedding and made a, you know, 10% on each bet.
Yeah, it's
look at the money you left on the table.
I know.
4.5, 5 right now. But that it's moved down, so people are betting on Kansas.
Woo!
All take right. that in. Take a minute. Hit pause. Take that one in. People are betting on Kansas.
Based on the Twitter questions that we got, I'm guessing nobody who is following this team would have done that as well, taking those bets. A question from Jack and Frank. Who are 5 realistic options for KU's next coach? And Tom, you've kind of been diving
into
this.
Interim or head coach? Because Tom's doing that reverse.
Yeah. I don't think people are.
It's the greatest series we've ever
had. People are like actively questioning who will be the interim. I think people are interested in who's taking over the program.
I just wanted to talk about it some more. Greatest series we've ever done.
So the five most realistic options.
Well, I think Les Miles is a real, a possible, I mean, it's real as an option, maybe, but I wouldn't call him one of the 5 most realistic. For 5 most realistic, I'm not going to say Seth Luttrell at North Texas because Texas Tech could pop open and they would want him. I think he's done such an incredible job at North Texas in a quick turnaround that I think that they won't get him. I think that Willie Fritz at Tulane is a realistic option. I think Jason Candle, who could be in pretty high demand, is a realistic option. His wife's from California, maybe a California school scoops him up, but I think he's a realistic option. Craig Bowl at Wyoming, maybe he could do better, but he's 60, and sometimes people are 59. Sometimes people hold age against coaches.
Any of the group of five guys? I mean, you had that series.
Those are all guys that I included.
I think they have to do better. I like all those guys. I think they're all really good coaches.
Let's say, though, that, I mean, ultimately, Les Miles isn't interested in coming to KU. I mean,
Dave Doran is a realistic possibility, I think. That would be $4.5 million buyout.
That's
pretty
big.
And you'd have to pay him about $3.5 million because he's getting paid $3 million. But I think there's some money on the sidelines. There was that meeting.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, he's done well everywhere
he's been.
He has, and he's from Bishop Miege High School is where he played.
And here, yeah. I
think it's realistic.
I think they could do worse than that, but I still think they could do better than that.
Then who?
Doran.
But who would be the better?
Oh, yeah. Geez. I don't know. That's a good.
That's kind of where Jeff Long's connections have to come in, right?
Yeah, it's so hard to know without knowing. I mean, he's obviously. Do you think Bielma's a better coach than Doran? Petrino's a better coach. I mean, like, my point is he's hired two. I think they both are. So my point is he's hired better. Now, obviously, he hired it to Arkansas, not to Kansas.
Right.
But that's a huge factor for
sure.
Yeah,
I don't think. Let's say Bielma, from what I'm told, is not interested and wants to launch an. He's working for an NFL team, I think the Patriots. He wants to become an NFL coach.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not saying he should call either one of those guys, nor would he. I don't think he would in a million years.
Right.
I'm just saying, I think those guys are better, and that's who he has hired.
The question is Kansas.
That's the bottom line. I mean, I've said it for a number of years. I think you're borderline crazy if you take this job.
Well, then who is realistic,
right,
though? Right. It takes it back to.
Right.
So I think rather than Kendall and Bowl and whoever else I mentioned there, Fritz, rather than they can do better, I don't think they can. Can they get them?
It's
a bigger question.
That is a good point.
And Fritz is from the area. Doran is from the area.
Right.
And I think that means something. Doran, for a long time, has wanted this Kansas job.
Yeah.
And that was held against him that he aggressively pursued it.
Right.
But, man, he sure looks like he would have been a good hire. Now, it does complicate it that it's a $4.5 million buyout. That's a significant chunk of change.
Especially when you said you'd have to pay him. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing that's crazy. I think they're going to pay somebody. I think they're going to pay big money. And so you don't pay Willie Fritz $3 million. You don't have to. And I don't know. I think it comes back to perception, which maybe isn't important, but I do think it plays a role. I think that's why they paid Charlie $2.5 million. I mean, he was a big name and a big salary. They wanted that to be their statement of, we are committed to football. And it was the wrong guy.
Right.
But money-wise and all the rest, it was that statement. It just didn't work out at all.
I think if Fritz had a real good year at Tulane, you'd have to pay him $3 million.
Do you really? What does he make there?
I think it's 1.6.
Yeah. Just because the demand for him would go up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I do think so, because he's got a great resume for turning around programs.
So Harbaugh is one that, I don't know if he's realistic, but I think it's worth talking about.
Let's say he got fired,
right,
and they hired Les Miles.
Yeah.
You know, all these rumors through the decades about Les Miles going to Michigan.
Where he played.
Harbaugh's wife is from...
Right. Harbaugh could do worse, and it'd be a
Kansas.
Pretty soft landing for him. He'd keep his family very happy.
Yep.
And he would make a ton of money still, because they'd have to pay him. That's a pretty soft landing after getting run out of Michigan, if that happens.
Does Adidas make khakis?
Oh, yeah.
Another perk.
You can see the three stripes, too, when you're tucked in.
Striped
does
khakis?
Does he tuck?
I think he does.
Yeah, he came when he was the 49ers coach. He was here, talked to the basketball team.
Oh, yeah,
practice.
That's right.
So it's all coming. It's all happening. I saw a poll about, or not a poll, but odds on Harbaugh next year, where he ends up. It was literally any possible coaching thing you could imagine. It was on this list of odds. It was a member of his brother's staff with the Baltimore Ravens. It was coaching high school. It was another college team.
Yep.
It was an assistant in the NFL. It was a head coach in the NFL. I mean, it was It was crazy how
he did well, didn't he, in the NFL?
Yeah. He got him to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Har Bowl.
I saw someone tweet that they were gonna put money on him joining the Athletic.
Yeah, that was funny. That was the one thing that was out there. That was funny. So but I think I don't know. I mean it's really, really early in that, but I don't think Harbaugh's unrealistic at all. I'd put him on a list. I don't know if top five, but
I'd put him on there.
I feel like top five.
Maybe it would just make sense because he's basically like the Larry Brown of football coaching.
Yeah.
He's like bouncing around all over the place, college success, NFL success.
I mean, this was where it all started, man. Mangino's out. Harbaugh's coming.
Yeah.
Instead, he can't coach the bowl game at Stanford, and so they get Gill, and that's where it began. There's something very poetic about maybe if you want to exercise these demons, that's where you have to go. The guy that was almost going to get it in the first place. That would be wild. That's the best story.
Although
Les Miles taking over next week is a pretty damn good story, too.
It's just mind-blowing to think now that Jim Harbaugh could have been the coach of this program 10 years ago.
Right.
It was close, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Well, and even if he left after 2 years to go to Michigan or whatever, it would have been such a good move because those 2 years were catastrophic for this program and sent the spiral down.
And probably the best 2 years in the post-Mangino era.
Yeah, right.
catastrophic indeed.
Another question that's kind of along these lines from K. Mishler. I hope I'm pronouncing that somewhere in the neighborhood of correct.
We'll just call you K.
Okay, yeah. It's the letter K, too, so I know I've got that part right.
Good job.
Kev! What's up, Kev?
Big name athletic director implies he had a list during the interviews of proven coaches willing to take the job. Fans are expecting a splash. So this is more of a statement than a question, but it's kind of let's kind of roll with that and say, I mean, fans want a splash, right? They're not going to be super excited.
Yeah, Jason Candle's not going to fire him up.
If Tim Rebo comes next year,
I don't think you can be
Tim Rebo.
Yeah,
you can't let your and there's another guy who's a good coach. You can't let your fans dictate who you're going to hire.
Yeah,
because
and Jeff Long's not going to do that.
Charlie was a big name, but Charlie didn't have the patience to do this job and to recruit high school kids, so that didn't work out. You can't. He was a splash, a big splash. Think about it. Him diving into this job, that was a big splash. And I don't think you can worry about splashes. Les Miles is a great football coach, and it would be a huge splash.
Yeah.
But it's got to start with great football coach.
Right, and that's
it. If you
it.
Think there's the next Bill Snyder or the next Matt Campbell is Jason Candle, go for it. And if you think it's Satterfield at Appalachian State, you know, he'd probably rather hang out until the North Carolina job opens or until Dave Doran goes to Kansas and he slides into the NC State
sure,
job.
Sure. Well, that's so that's the interesting part because when they hired Charlie, it was, like you said, it was a splash, but it wasn't, I mean, I don't know if he gets credit for his Notre Dame success or not. Probably not. I mean, it wasn't his players. He was the coach, so maybe half credit or something. But
and they did fire him.
Yeah, and they did fire him, right. And, I mean, yeah, he went the wrong direction. But that's it. Les Miles would be both. You said it perfectly. And it's I wrote at that time when they hired Charlie that it was the one thing they hadn't tried. You know, they'd tried up-and-comers, even with Glenn Mason and going back to those, Terry Allen, and you know, those guys were coming up through those ranks, what, Toledo and Northern Iowa, you know, and then they
Kent tried, State.
There you go, yeah, sorry.
For Mason. Glenn Mason. Yeah. And Mason was a great hire. He
absolutely, absolutely. And then they tried, you know,
Assistant
Turner
coach.
Gill, right, the up-and-comer who was being championed as the next coach at Auburn by some, you know, crazy that is to think about. And then you know, so it just seemed like they were progressing to all these things they hadn't tried yet, and Weiss was one of them. Les Miles would fit, though. That's something they haven't tried, a big name splash type of guy who's also been successful, you know.
Yeah.
So just when you think they're almost out of options of, well, they're going to have to do something they've already done.
See, and I don't think I would never limit the pool by saying, let's try this.
Let's
have an assistant. Let's have this. The one limiting factor I would put on it at this moment in time is I want a head coach. I don't want an assistant.
Totally agree with that.
For one thing, I want a head coach. You know, ideally, it would be a head coach at a job who could take his staff. Les Miles would have to cobble together his staff, but he is Les Miles.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day. So what was our dream staff? You know, Les Miles was the head coach. Who else was
Mangino,
on there?
Mangino
was the GA.
Yeah.
Art Briles was the what?
Yeah.
Bielma was the run game coordinator, running backs coach. I mean, yeah.
You lost me when you brought up Art Briles.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Absolutely. You and a million other people. But so Petrino and Bielma, I mean, I know it was to Arkansas. Obviously, it's apples and oranges. But what was their – I mean, Bielma was proven at Wisconsin. Big time splash.
Yeah.
And Petrino probably the same.
Louisville. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He was terrific at Louisville, and then he's the Atlanta Falcons coach.
Yeah.
And Long doesn't
that's why I
worry about
up.
Ruffling the waters.
Right.
He goes and hires an existing
right.
NFL coach.
Right.
He's going to do what he...
That's why I brought it up, because that's where we have to look, right? That's the best we know about Jeff Long, even if it was to Arkansas.
So you going Brad Stevens here?
Yeah.
Every Kansas basketball fan thinks that...
There you go.
If God forbid Bill Self left, which I don't think he will, and I don't think anyone needs to worry about that, but God forbid if he left, every Kansas fan thinks, well, of course Brad Stevens would leave the Celtics.
Well, the ones that don't think that Tom Izzo would take it or Jay Wright would take it, you know, right. They think Brad Stevens. The rest of them are like, well, yeah, you just call Jay Wright. No big deal.
Easy.
Okay.
Two national titles in 3 years right down the road from New York
Beat
City.
Beat Kansas twice to get him.
And dominates the recruiting in New York.
Yeah, he's probably okay. He's probably okay. But, yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that's the fun part kind of with Jeff Long being the new guy. We don't know.
Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Played at Baker.
There you go.
Played at Baker. That's why I said Mike McCarthy.
That'd be terrific. Be a great hire. He's a great football coach.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could do it in college.
He would hire the Baker head coach. Buddies.
Yeah, there you go. Jason Thorne would either stay at Baker or come aboard.
He'd be the DC.
It'd be fun. That'd be fun. Mike McCarthy.
All right.
Aaron Rodgers, quarterback coach.
Oh, I thought you were going to say quarterback.
That'd be fine, too.
Yeah,
that'd
I would.
He has a Kansas jersey. Charlie gave him a Kansas jersey.
Yes. Is Charlie the coach then?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really bad. It was a really bad jersey.
All right. This was a really interesting question from Thor Nystrom. He actually gave us two. And we'll
Thor.
Hit Thor.
My guy. I hired Thor.
You hired him.
What is Thor doing now? He's a good writer.
Yeah, he does fantasy sports. He writes for some fantasy publications and online stuff. He's talented for sure.
Yeah, and he's always on top of the KU football
stuff. Yeah, great guy. Love him.
With the new redshirt rules and KU having no chance to make a bowl, it would make sense to preserve an extra year of eligibility on anyone who hasn't been redshirted, right? So this is obviously isn't Beatty's prerogative as he's fighting for his life and has all hands on deck mentality. But wouldn't that be like...
I love that.
That's an outstanding idea. If Jeff Long were to say, you know what, we've got all these, we're not going anywhere this year, we've got all these players that we could potentially redshirt that haven't redshirted yet, let's make sure that our best guys are around in the future.
Our future is not thinking now. About numbers,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Tom's written it a million times. You have to start preserving every body you can.
I'll tell you what, you need to do two things. Is if you think there's some juniors on the roster this year who are good, redshirt them, and if you think there are sophomores who are good, redshirt them. The juniors.
Mm-hmm. Who was the specific case we talked about?
Kyron Johnson was the guy we talked about as a sophomore because he's got unbelievable speed. He made a couple of really nice plays, and then he made the face mask that the official announced as Joe Dineen. Right. But he really, that burst he had to get to the quarterback was amazing.
Yeah, he had a blindside sack where he just came off the edge and just, it was perfect. And then he also, did he recover the botched fumble? Or the botched
yes. Yeah. Yes.
So, I mean, and yeah, fast guy.
He was in your ratings, right?
You know what, I don't think I did.
No? Oh.
You might have been.
Maybe Robinson's. Maybe I'm thinking of Stephon Robinson.
Yeah, he was in there.
Yeah. Because he blocked the punt?
Yeah, the...
Yeah. Robinson did, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
but like as and Thor mentioned here, nice like receptions. The tricky part here is like the current coaching staff has no inspiration to do this. You know?
Right.
So it'd have to come down from Long or from Mike Vollmer. Like
I don't think
plan.
They'd be afraid to do
no.
it. But at that point then you just fire the guy. Yeah. Right? I mean if you're
it'd be an interim you're doing it with.
Yeah. There you go. Right. Yeah, you'd have to because you can't tell that's a stalemate then if you say, hey, right. we're going to keep you, but you can't use any of these guys on this list.
Right.
And the list has two sides. I mean, that's rough. So yeah, I don't know. That'd be really interesting. But I love the thought.
I love the idea, and I guess it actually could potentially work if you made a change, you know, before conference play starts.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a radical idea, but if you're gonna turn this thing around, you're gonna need some radical things to make that happen.
Well, it's so rare that you have the luxury of, and it doesn't sound like a luxury, but it is. It's rare that you have the luxury of knowing the outcome of a season, and they do. They'll know soon, probably, especially if we're talking about this and moving on and all that, that they're not going to a bowl game, and that's not going to be another good year. So take advantage of that crystal ball to see the future and use it to your advantage. I agree, yeah.
And the new redshirt rule, right?
Right.
That's three
games. That's
the
big part.
You can do this, and then by then, you know, hey, right, we're on our interim or next phase.
Is it four games? Okay. I think it's four.
Right.
Yeah. So it's even, you got a lot of wiggle room there.
Surely you think you would know by then, and then you could say, hey, let's hold these guys for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be tough for the players, too. I mean, because guys just won't play.
Yeah.
So it'd be tricky. I just love the idea that he threw out there. But the second question from Thor is, do you think KU will consider pulling the plug on Vaidi earlier rather than later with this in mind, and to make a more proactive long-term approach and to instruct the interim head coach to kind of preserve the eligibility wherever possible for the next staff? So it's kind of the two-part question of the first thing he introduced. Do you think that the administration would have that kind of forward-thinking approach to implement such a plan? Obviously, we don't know their exact plans with this, but Jeff Long seems like a really bright guy. Mike Vollmer's been around so many great football programs.
That's the one question I have.
Yeah.
They've never been in these shoes.
Right.
So I agree. Great, you know, minds, great track record, all that. But it's harder when you're thrown into it for the first time. You maybe don't know what to do. Now, I do think they'll evaluate it and look at it from all angles, and maybe they will, but I think being first-timers in this kind of a, you know, low situation, I think that brings it into question for sure, because Alabama, Michigan, those places, Arkansas even, they've never had to even entertain this concept. So I don't know. It is pretty radical, but geez, man, you're talking about the future, like you said, Ben.
Well, thanks for those questions from Thor. Our next question is from Chase Hanna, and he says, how many commits do we have for next year? Two or three? It can always get worse. Yes. But yeah, right now, KU only has two commits lined up for its 2019 class. And as much as Tom, you know, you've written about the kind of situation with this limited amount of scholarships they'll probably have for this class, two is still a very low number. And I think it kind of points to just that no one is really expecting Vaidi to be around long term, right? Because if you're a player and you kind of know the situation at KU, why would you, unless you were just, I just want to go to Kansas and play football, that's my thing, why would, and you didn't care who the coach was.
I think it would be someone who grows up in a Kansas family that has Jayhawks all over the house and is going to play there no matter what, like you said. Other than that, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because right now it's just running back Cole Mueller. He's a two-star guy, according to Rivals, and tight end.
From Kansas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then another
from
in-state.
Missouri.
That
might be from Missouri.
Yeah.
Tight
end Clay Cundiff, three-star tight end. So, I mean, they're both essentially local players who have chosen KU. And that's it.
that's what you would expect.
Well, and the number can't be that high to begin with, right?
Right.
I mean, we're talking all these blue shirts and stuff that they've moved forward. Isn't it going to be a class of 10 or 12 guys?
More than likely, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, so in that respect, 2 out of 25 spots sounds like you're not very far. Yeah. 2 out of 10, you're 20%. I mean, which isn't a good thing. It's alarming.
So that's another kind of incentive to get somebody new in place as soon as possible. Like you mentioned, you know, the recruiting factor.
Right.
I mean, because the 2019 class, I don't think it's because of the limitations involved. It's not going to be one that turns things around.
Sure.
So, I mean, you got to really nail it because you don't have a lot of slots to fill.
Well, and I mean, you know, Les Miles might be a stretch, might not. But if it's him, you don't mind waiting a few weeks if you're the fan base, because then he can recruit however he wants. We've seen it done in basketball.
Yeah.
He can go talk to kids all over the country. There's no rules. There's no, I mean.
That's a good point.
You know, so if it does go a little slower than you'd like, keep that in your mind. Maybe that's why. And that's not the worst thing in the world. Now, it's not as easy. You know, it's not as easy to go line up a bunch of this stellar class and say, hey, I'm going to Kansas. You guys want to join me? They go, why? No. You know, you're, what? Why are you going there? I mean, you know, so, but it's definitely possible. Is that, was that the question? Oh, the 2 or 3. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Next question is from Emilio Static, and it's kind of a relevant game question about Saturday's loss to Nichols. And
let me interrupt you, Tommy. Right, Wentzville, Missouri, is Colt Mueller.
Thanks for looking that up.
Yeah.
I did not have Wi-Fi connection, so I hesitated.
No,
like,
that's all right.
Leaning Missouri, but couldn't remember for sure.
Yeah, right. Holt High School in Wentzville, which looks like it's a suburb of St. Louis or something like that.
I wonder if I ran into him at the PGA. Him and 60,000 others.
Yeah, probably did. But so, yeah, Cundiff's the one from Wichita area, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Question from Emilio Static. Why did they let the clock run out in the fourth and not attempt a Hail Mary or to get in field goal position with 30 seconds left in that game?
Is this what's the guy's name? Emilio?
Emilio.
Oh, Emilio. What a great question. Wouldn't we all love to know the answer to that?
Tied at 20, KU's ball, less than a minute left.
Where were they?
They were inside their own 40 when the drive started for sure. And then they had, was it a sack on the first play? So it was going backwards, and then there was an incompletion, I want to say. I'll double check if I can find the play-by-play real quick. There's so many things that went wrong.
Because they didn't have any timeouts left to discuss it.
The biggest reason why is because they called a timeout on 4th and 9 the drive before, and then proceeded upon it. So.
And conventional wisdom says, you're the home team, you're the better team, go to overtime. Better team prevails. So maybe
so risk and it, turnover? And,
yeah, right. But maybe that's what happened. The better team prevailed. I mean, Nichols State won the game. They looked better most of that game, right? So I think one of my criticisms of Beatty throughout his time here is that he has struggled to coach for the job that he's in. He has made decisions and you know, plays and calls and things like this as if he's coaching at a regular bowl going Power 5 conference school, and he's not. You know, like, you're not at A&M anymore. So you have to take some chances. You have to risk it. You have to be aggressive. I would always go for it if I'm Kansas and I'm David Beatty, knowing, okay, if we turn it over there, I'm going to get ripped. But if we lose this game, I'm going to get ripped. What's the difference? You know, so I think it would have been a good statement too the team that says, look, we are a different group now. We're aggressive and we're going after this thing. We're going to go for it.
You got a guy in Sims who's a burner.
You got a guy in Rui who can
knock
it through from. If you lined up for a 60-yard game winner, you'd take your chances with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Rui can hit that. So, yeah, and to get a 60-yarder, what do you got to do? Get to the 43? You know, that's a 20-yard pass, 25-yard pass to Sims.
Yeah, have him get out of bounds.
Yeah, it's it wouldn't have been crazy to try it at all. If you're inside your own 20, okay. Because then if you turn it over, they're maybe in field goal range right away.
Yeah.
But if you turn it over on the other side of the 50, they've got to still make a couple plays.
If they're going to do that, though, I would have brought in a blocking back to pick up the blitz.
Would have been a good idea. Would have been a good idea. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And that takes away some of what you can do down the field. But, geez.
Yeah.
But it's going to be Sims anyways. He's the only one getting open.
And he's probably, right. Geez. Tough call. I feel for you, Emilio. That's I'm sure you and 1,000 other people were going, what?
our next question comes from Aaron Stickney, who said, this is another pretty good question. Why would anyone attend a game unless a family member is playing in the game or a band member?
I love it, and I think you'll find out that Rutgers. They won't. Yeah. Well, right. Rutgers, Todd Reesing's back.
Yeah.
There's the answer for that game.
Yeah. And maybe but, Puka at some point.
Right. But after that, I'm
maybe it's another way of saying
total agreement. I mean, you are going to see these fans, I mean, I've never seen it like that. And I covered it a long time. You know that. You've covered it a long time, too. I mean, I've never seen them so angry. They were over this program, this coach, this whole thing after that loss on Saturday night. So
it awakened them.
Yes.
Because they were in a torpor, and it just sort of like, wait a minute.
I am
going to pay attention.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was kind of reminiscent to when they lost at home to Central Michigan last year. Because people were in an outrage after that. And then they kind of realized how bad the team was, and they checked out. And then, because it was the opener, they said, okay, well, let's check in.
New team, new
year.
See
what's going on.
Right.
And then it was kind of a reminder that there's not been any progress.
Yeah.
The progress they were hoping to see.
Big time. Yeah, so I think it would be down to family members, coaches, wives. You know, there's a bunch of people that are loyal supporters that don't live and die with it. They're people that, hey, it's a fun way to spend a few hours.
Sure.
I love KU. I'm going to go up there. I've already bought my tickets. And you know what? If they lose, I'm going to go on with my weekend just as if nothing happened. There are people out there like that, and good for them. You know, that's
absolutely.
It's awesome that they can be supportive like that. It's also awesome that they don't let it ruin their weekend.
Yeah.
So good for you. But you know, outside of that, and that's a small number. Yeah, if it doesn't get better in a hurry, you're going to see some unbelievably thin crowds, and that's never good. And it shows up on TV, and that doesn't help the future either. Because who wants to go play in that empty building?
Do you think an interim coach helps attendance a little bit? And I don't think that a move would be made just because of that.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, do you think people would be more interested?
I think a lot of people would like to say they would be. I've seen some people on Twitter and stuff saying, hey, you know, if you just fire him, we'd show up in droves just to say thank you. I don't think so. I mean, I think that sounds good, and a lot of people would love to say that, but then when it came push comes to shove and it's kickoff and you got to get in your car and drive up there, and I got something better to do, you know, for now. So, but maybe a little tick in the right direction, just because I do think there are some people that will be very, very happy when this move is made, or if this move is made.
Yeah.
And they are.
And want to send some love to someone.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
That's right.
To the new guy. They like sending love. They want it. There's a lot of love on the sideline waiting to be
showered on. Yeah, we are still here,
ears.
Is what they would want to say. We are still here, and we appreciate you making this move. Now let's go.
Yeah.
So I do think, you know, it wouldn't fill the stadium by any means, but you know, you might get a couple thousand more fans to show up for that, which is not irrelevant.
Now, Tom, we obviously don't want to spoil anything with your series, but Jayhawksnow123, great Twitter name, asked, who will be the interim coach? I mean, he's just gone ahead and assumed, like, the interim coach is coming. Who's it going to be? So, I mean, we don't have to say, well, maybe we could go around the table and give some theories.
Yeah, I'll tell you three people it won't be.
Okay.
Okay, it won't be A.J. Ricker. It won't be Juice Johnson, the receivers coach. And it won't be Jesse Williams, the defensive line coach.
Because those are number 10, 9, and 8 on
right,
the countdown.
On the countdown. Yes.
It will not be Clint Bowen.
Right.
Either, in my opinion. I mean, he's done it twice? Once?
He did it for Weiss.
Once.
Yeah. Once.
Yeah.
God, it feels like twice. Sorry. Sorry, Clint.
Well, it was 8 games for him as interim, right?
Yeah, right.
In that Weiss, last Weiss season. So.
But if your whole plan is to find the next guy, the next head coach, there's nothing wrong with going someone who's already done this before and you have no interest in making the head coach. And you know he's going to do his job of it because he really cares about the school.
That's true. It could be. Jeez. Gosh. I mean,
I'm not going to say I don't want to be the spoiler for my own series.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm not even going to tell you guys.
Oh, man. Wow.
This is exciting.
So I would guess it would probably be associate head coach Tony Hull.
That can't happen.
That
guy was not even – oh, man. And I like Tony Hull a lot, but wow. I mean, I guess he was a head coach at Warren Easton in New Orleans, but man.
I know.
That's a stretch, if
so
you ask me.
I would lean toward Doug Meacham. Would be and that's who I would pick.
Sure,
it's my decision.
Sure,
but it's obviously not. And I don't want to spoil.
Spoiler alert! Yeah. It's not Benton's decision.
I have no say in this. I have no say in whether we can.
My
talk,
series.
I have no say in whether we can talk to coordinators every week.
Yeah, we don't. That just to be clear, what Benton was referencing there, Beatty has been consistent in one media policy, that is that you can't talk to freshmen or redshirt freshmen either. But then he's been pretty inconsistent in the rest, because there are times where we could talk to all the assistants. There are times where we could talk to the coordinators on Thursdays, was it, Benton?
Yeah, last year it was Thursdays.
Last year it was Thursdays. This year it's no one. Beatty wants to be the sole voice of the program, and in terms of the coaching staff, and analysts don't do interviews. So Dirk Wedd, who means a lot to this community, coached 19 years at Lawrence High. The community is clamoring to find out what it's like for him. They're proud of him, and you can't interview him.
Got a couple questions from Frank Saunders, who's always great at chiming in with questions for these podcasts.
Frankie!
First one, at what point does asking Fontana to snap and asking Bender to take a beating become a matter for the AD to address?
Whew.
I like this one. Coming off the top rope.
It won't be. I mean, Jeff Long's never going to –
no.
If Jeff Long wouldn't be where he is if he was the kind of guy that was going to meddle in a coach's decision and
no,
and
if he thought he made enough horrendous decisions, he'd just replace him.
Right, yeah. So I don't think he'll say, hey, let's work on snapping today.
Right, so there's a way to address it.
Yeah.
Fire.
Right.
Good point. And you'd like to think the snap is an easy fix. Like, oh, we just noticed this on tape and we just got to do this differently. I mean, you'd like to think it's a simple
did
fix.
You snap in high school
I received snaps in football. In high
you were the quarterback?
Yeah, but it was for eight man. So it
did
was
you snap towels?
Time. Huh?
Did you snap towels?
No.
We just learned that Shane Jackson was an eight man quarterback.
It's eight man is the best. You can
you know
a 45 point game and you're gone. You can go home.
Yeah.
I cover Veritas games every now and then. Veritas Christian, the eight man football team in near Kansas or in Kansas, I should say. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's so wide open. It's like the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, it's just the fast guy wins, gets to the outside.
It's like Arena League with no arena.
Ah. So you were fast, huh?
Many, many pounds ago, I was decently.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Another question from Frank Saunders.
Should
engaged and invested alumni be actively hoping for losses by our team to incite and demand change? Allowing this to continue to the student athletes seems irresponsible. Should the fan base be cheering? I mean, openly wanting the team to lose.
Absolutely.
At this point?
I'm not going to go on and on about it, but I say there's nothing wrong with that. And if you're one of those people doing it, I have no issue with you doing it. That it's for the good of the program.
And the other way you can vote with your dollars and not spend them on tickets, I guess.
Right.
Because I think a low attendance would be every bit as effective as booing.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they did boo, right?
Yeah, they did boo, and justifiably so. Right. I think fans always, if you pay for a ticket, you're allowed to boo at any level, I think.
Did the
probably, I mean, not high school.
The first
league.
Junior high.
Boo! You suck, Tommy! Unfortunately, it's the fathers booing their own kids.
Yeah, definitely.
I just remembered a Will Ferrell skit from Saturday Night Live where he's at some little league game yelling at his kid who's like a base runner. And he's just berating his son from the bleachers. Get on the back!
I remember that.
So, I mean, let's not go over the top with that type of stuff. But, I mean, Frank's question, like, if you're a fan, if you've been this dedicated and you keep watching these games and going to these games.
Even if you don't and you just wake up on Sunday and you look at the score, and when you hope that it was Kansas has fewer points than the opponent, that's okay too. I mean, I don't think you even have to actively root against them. You can just hope, hey, I hope they don't win. I'm sorry, but I do.
Because
you
I know, want like, change.
Yeah, right. I don't think that makes you a bad fan. I don't. I'm sure there are a lot of people that disagree with that, but it doesn't sound like any of them are in here.
I think let your conscience be your guide. If you feel it's the right thing to do, do it.
Right.
And it also doesn't really matter your rooting interest, because they're going to be underdogs in basically every rest of the games. So.
Well, right, yeah. Yeah, and right. I mean, who fans are rooting for doesn't determine the outcome of the game, nor does it determine what Jeff Long's going to do.
Yeah.
But I don't. If you're struggling with who was this? Whose question was this?
This was Frank.
Frank,
yeah.
Tom's boy, Frankie.
Frankie.
Yeah. No. I don't. I'm sure. I mean, I've seen him all over Twitter. I'm sure he's probably doing that. And if he is, hey, he's not alone.
How many weeks in a row is the spread going to get worse for Kansas or higher for Kansas? Better for betting on Kansas, but
I don't know. Rutgers? Does it? They can't be much more than a 5-point underdog at home, right?
I would think that Rutgers might be a little more winnable than at Central Michigan.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought that was like the most winnable game on the schedule.
That's the one I picked.
Even over Nichols? Yeah. Over Nichols? Yeah. Really?
Although, I mean, now after watching that Nichols game, I could be completely wrong. But that was just my perception of things headed into the season.
Interesting.
I just wondered, the reason I picked them to lose to Nichols and picked them to beat Rutgers is because I think Nichols comes in with the advantage of that mentality of no one thinks we can do this.
And winning culture. Together.
Exactly. And it means a lot to them, right? If they could come in here and beat a Power 5 Big 12 team, everyone is unified in that quest at Nichols State. At Rutgers, I think they're down, and I think I just believe Rutgers probably has a program that's like Kansas right now.
Yeah.
Some guys doing this, some guys doing that, some coaches that may or may not be doing the best things for the program, and it's just kind of everywhere, and that's why they stink. And
their offense was dreadful last year. They have a talented freshman quarterback, but it'll be a talented freshman quarterback in his third week.
Yeah.
Coming off a game against Ohio State.
Yeah, against a defense that played decent football. KU's defense was pretty good in the opener. I mean,
I agree.
They weren't great, and they could have been better at times, but I don't think that was – I mean, I wouldn't put that in the list of top five problems by any means for this program.
No.
So that's why I picked it as the one, but who knows, you know.
Yeah, now that we brought up the defense, it's a perfect time for this question from Matt. His handle is 13 Jayhawk.
That's not me.
That's not you?
No,
okay.
No.
So the first 12 were gone?
I guess so. Everyone's
they've canceled their season.
Maybe he was born in 2013 and he's 5 years old, banging around on Twitter about KU football.
Or could he have graduated in 2013?
Oh, interesting. I'm hoping that he is not yet in kindergarten.
Maybe he was born in 1913.
Wow.
And he's 105.
Way to hang around, Matt.
Wanting to see one more winning football season before he kicks the bucket.
Man, and he's on Twitter. Shout out to Matt.
Technology wizard.
Everyone seems to give the defense a pass all the time. I didn't see a good defense, especially against a 1AA. No pressure on the quarterback.
There wasn't much pressure on the quarterback until the blindside sack that you mentioned about Kyron Johnson. Yeah. There was not much. The D-line, I didn't think, had a very good game. I thought they were able to run the ball against Kansas, but it wasn't a horrible job by the defense. I mean, what was the score heading into overtime? 20-20?
Yep. 20-20, yeah. You give up 20 points, you can win that game. I don't know.
It was a bend but don't break.
Again, yeah, I don't want anybody to think that we're sitting here saying the defense was great.
Right.
No. But I think my point was there are a lot bigger issues than the way the defense played.
And they had some lapses. There was a couple plays, like the Kendall Bussey 40-yard touchdown run, where they're just not ready. They're waiting for a call, and they're not ready. And then
Nichols State
drive
to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the fourth, that was awful coverage. Awful coverage. I mean, maybe it was a great route. I don't know. But when you spin the DB to the inside and then you break outside and you can turn your back to the end zone and wait like you're catching a punt for a pass. Oh,
man.
That's bad coverage. So
that was a good description, though.
Yeah, thank you. but yeah, I mean, I think it was not a flawless performance by any means, but for week one with a handful of new guys, I don't think it was terrible.
Yeah, and I just remember how much they struggled at the beginning of last season. So right. To me, that's
right.
Contextually, that seemed like a positive sign.
I think that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
I apologize, we didn't get to all of your Twitter questions, but we're going to close with this one. It comes from The Real JLW, and she had actually a couple of questions which I thought were perfect for this podcast, so that's why we're going to close with it. Why did I believe the hype that KU football was going to storm back to relevance in 2018? Why am I always sure they will be better? Do I hate myself? Am I simply an eternal optimist? My therapist is tired of talking about this, so I would appreciate a fresh take.
Well, you know what? I'm with you. I'm an eternal optimist, too, because I consistently pick more wins they end up getting, and at the bottom, what a negative article. No, it wasn't. It was too positive. I picked them for 3 wins this year.
Right.
Too positive.
That's what I was going to say. We talked about it, maybe not the last one, but the one before that, our podcast before that, where both you and Benton were like, it's happening again. Yep. Here I am. I'm going to say three wins. I don't know what's wrong with me. So, what is it? JLW?
Yeah, the real JLW.
The real one, yeah. Yep. It's not just you.
Who's the fake one?
yeah, these guys have no rooting interest. Benton and Tom don't care at all about the outcome, and even they were duped, essentially, just because I think the off season's too long.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Just takes
the real Jennifer Lawrence, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
You spend 9 months hearing nothing but good things from coaches, and you don't know anything about any other team, basically.
Right.
And you haven't actually watched this team play. So, yeah, that's the real reason.
That's the thing. Yeah. We don't see anything at spring practices. We don't see anything during preseason practices.
Still should have known better.
Yeah.
I agree. Speaking for myself. I mean, it's like someone said, I said, maybe three, and they said, no, still going to be timeouts at the wrong position.
Nailed it.
And nailed a few things. It was, I won't say his name because he wasn't speaking on the record, but he was right.
Nailed it. Yeah, it's, I'm nervous about one. We did the series about zero or one, two, three, and then four or more.
Yeah, I fell on that grenade.
You did. That was stand up. I owe you lunch. But
that was a good team play there.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. I don't think anybody's crazy. It's human nature to want the team you root for to be better and to improve. So
even the team you cover, you want them to be better because they're more relevant and
more fun to cover. Better, yeah, and traffic, better everything. Yeah,
and it would bring in the when they do get good again, it brings in, are they going to make a bowl game?
Yeah,
what level bowl game?
Right.
And that adds a whole element to a season. And I think it adds urgency to players too.
Yeah,
and that's one game and it's gone. It's going to be hard for these players to get up for Central Michigan, yeah, I think.
I do too.
Don't you?
I think some of them won't have any trouble. I mean, the guys that Beatty talks about, Joe Dineen, Daniel Wise, those guys are pros and they're studs and they've already put all this heart and soul into it. Of course it's not going to be hard for them, but what about the rest? What about the other 80 guys or 45 guys that you're taking on the road with you or whatever it is? I mean, these guys, there's a lot of guys that have no idea what it feels like to have success here, and therefore this is kind of the norm. So
I
think that's another case for a coaching change midseason. I think you shock the system when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and all of a sudden, and obviously if it's Les Miles, let's say you're Bryce Tornaden, who's been fine, but let's say you're him, and for a year and a half now you've played for David Beatty, and then boom, snap your fingers, and now Les Miles, who's won a national championship, is your coach. Aren't you going to play harder?
You watch a YouTube of him doing a press conference, right? You get chills.
Right. Aren't you just going
to... Certain people know how to motivate.
Yeah. Some will do our jobs better.
Yeah, that's my point, yes. Exactly.
So it benefits all.
Sit up straighter at the press conference.
Yeah, for sure.
Pay attention.
For sure. So, yeah, I think all those things are good factors. But I don't think the real JLW is alone at all. I just think it's a...
I think unfortunately that's part of being a fan of a struggling program.
Yeah.
You want the best and you seek out the best during that long off season and you kind of play out in your mind, okay, we've got these guys coming back and
the bar is also so low.
I know.
You guys picked three wins. She was probably expecting three or four. It's not like anyone out there is going, this is the year we're getting back to a bowl game. No one's saying that. They're hoping for three wins so they can feel good three times in the fall.
Yeah, I don't think anyone picked more than three wins, so I don't think that qualifies as hype.
No.
Although, this is a program that in the last 8 years has averaged two.
Right.
Just a tick under two. Hmm. 15 wins in 8 years.
So that's a nice, depressing way to end this podcast.
By the way, we're going to Mount Pleasant
to see if Kansas
can break its 46-game road losing streak and 12-game
percentage
overall.
Do you give it? I mean, what percent chance do you give them of doing that? I mean,
of winning this weekend?
Yeah, if they play it 10 times and they win one, is that 10%? You give it better?
I give better than that. Yeah. I'm going to say... 17.64.
Oh,
I was going to play 100. They went 17.5. I like it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
overtime.
I was about to say 17%. So, Tom, you're optimistic again.
Wow,
too high. Yeah, you were going to say 17.
0.64.
Wow. So, where are we going?
Wow. Yes. Yeah. I. I'd call you crazy if you said it was higher than that. I mean, I just think it's a bad spot. They're on the road with a handful of new guys that haven't been on the road before. Don't know what that's about. The history isn't in their favor. And then on top of that, you are in a situation where if it doesn't start well, you know, you get down 14-0. How and or why, to come back to the beginning of this podcast, how and or why do you pick yourself up off the mat and rally from that? I mean, 14-0 in the first quarter, you're like, geez, we're done.
Yeah, the other thing
is human nature.
Yeah, Central Michigan actually put up a pretty good fight at Kentucky week one. And I know people were kind of expecting Central Michigan to dip a little bit from where they were last year, mainly because of losing their quarterback, who only really played well against KU.
Isn't that funny? He looked so good.
Yeah.
And then he didn't play well the rest of the year.
So, I mean, it's like a one-score game for them at Kentucky in the fourth quarter. So I mean,
I think the scariest thing for KU is just that they were really physical.
Yes.
They were physical with Kentucky, and KU was not physical with Nicholls State. So,
I mean, we will come back for another podcast next week, and maybe we'll be proven wrong. Maybe there was like a 83% chance for them to win. And
maybe we'll be advocating another extension for Bailey. Well, he was 2-22 when he got the first extension. Oh. So if you're 4-34, that's a better winning percentage than his first extension.
Way better.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, something to chew on until what do we come back next week.
ESPN Plus, 2 o'clock.
ESPN Plus, kickoff. 2 p.m. Central kickoff time. Yeah. Dish out your $4.99.
Or trial. 30-day free trial.
Oh, yeah, free trial. I keep forgetting that. On. I just get it for free because I have an insider subscription because I like reading the Draft Express
stuff. So do I, and I just paid for it. Maybe they won't charge me.
Maybe. I bet you're getting charged. Oh, man.
I'm going to make a phone call. That's
good. Good luck with that.
Glad you said that because, yeah.
Okay, so if you're an ESPN insider, just watch the game.
Yeah.
But if you're not, go get ESPN Plus and watch it on your
send the bill to me.
Laptop or
don't do
if
that.
You're an ESPN phone, insider,
you get access to the ESPN Plus content.
Oh, this is great. Yeah. I got to send an email.
How many games are on ESPN Plus?
All of them. I mean, games upon games upon games upon games.
But I'm saying that's, let's say, you can't get it unless you get a ESPN Plus. Would this be the only one?
Oh, KU's?
Yeah.
No, there's some KU basketball games that will be.
Yeah, some of those non-conference.
How much is that a month?
$4.99.
Yeah. Is Midnight Madness, or what is it called, Late Night?
Right.
Is that on there? That might be on ESPN Plus. Anyway, we're not here to plug ESPN Plus.
No, we've done a good job.
We should plug LJWorld.com again, though.
Yeah,
we should. I mean, especially if you're a local resident in Lawrence and you want to keep up to date.
Or you want to keep up with Lawrence. And
I mean, anyone who cares about Lawrence.
Yeah, for sure.
Not just what's happening, but obviously a huge part of what we do is keeping an eye on what's going on, you know, in city government, with schools, all that stuff. So. It's important, and you know, we wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't important, and we're proud of our product. So
we've got great watchdogs on news site.
Yeah, for sure.
Very interesting content.
Yeah, so $9.95 a month. Sign up, 99 cents for the first month. There's your free trial, basically. Try it out. 99 cents gets you a whole month. Even Shane can afford that.
LJWorld.com.
Maybe a wedding present for your sister.
On that note, we'll see if Shane is still alive by the next time we record a podcast. See if his sister gets back from her honeymoon and just has a revenge planned for Shane. We'll see. But I'm optimistic.
Yeah.
So is Tom. We all know that.
Lots of optimism on this podcast.
So we'll talk to you again next week.